So it's like this, Jesus says. A man goes out, a wealthy businessman, he goes out going to take a trip. And so he calls together his servants and he gives his wealth out to them. To the one he gives 5 talents or 5 bags of gold. To another he gives 2 talents or 2 bags of gold. To another 1 talent or 1 bag of gold. And then he goes off on his journey. And so the servant who was given the 5 bags of gold, immediately he goes out and he works with that money and gains 5 more. Likewise, the servant who has 2 talents, their 2 bags of gold, works that money for the master and gains 2 more. But the servant who was given 1 bag of gold doesn't go out and work it. Rather, he digs a hole in the ground, hides the money there. So now, after a long time, the master comes back and he wants to settle accounts with his servants. So he calls them all in, and the servant who's been given the 5 bags of gold, he puts forth, here's the 5 plus here's 5 more that I've gained for you. And the master responds, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little, and so I'm going to put you in charge of much. Come and enter into your master's joy. And then the servant with the 2 talents comes in and says, master, I worked with that. There's 2 bags of gold you gave me, and I gained 2 more. Here they are. And the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little, and so I'm going to put you in charge of much. Come and enter into your master's joy. But then the third servant comes in. He says, master, I know you're a hard man. I know that you harvest where you don't sow seeds. I know that you gather where you don't scatter seeds. And so I was afraid, and I dug a hole, and I hid the money, but here it is. You wicked and lazy servant, you knew I'm a hard man. You know that I harvest where I don't sow. You know that I gather where I haven't scattered seed. At least you could have put that money in the bank, and when I came back, I could have gathered it with interest. And so he says, take that 1 bag of gold from this servant and give it to the one who has 10 bags of gold. And for whoever has, more will be given, and even will be given in abundance. But the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And take that servant and throw him outside. Throw him in out into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So that's the parable of the talents. May God add his blessing and our reflections here on this parable. So I want to talk about this parable, and throughout the sermon, I do want to make some connections to the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son, which I preached about 2 weeks ago. And I'm not suggesting that Jesus taught these parables in tandem, but did, you know, these were both truths that he put out there. And I think by looking at them together, we can gain some insights and understand them more fully. The parable of the lost son was all about grace, amazing grace. This son who disregards his father, goes out and lives wild living, and just hits rock bottom, finally comes to the understanding that life is better with back at my father's house rather than here. And the father just abandons himself in love and grace and mercy and welcomes his son back as a full member of the family again, the full rights of sonship. But the parable of the talents here is a parable about responsibility, the responsibility of those with whom the master entrusts these gifts. And I could imagine the older brother in the prodigal son story saying, finally, somebody's talking about responsibility. You know, I've watched my brother and waste the things he was given and act irresponsibly, and all I hear about is grace. Finally, some responsibility here. So, and I don't want to discount any of that grace this morning. But in a sense, this parable can... We don't know the rest of the story. Jesus doesn't go on and continue that parable. But this parable, in a sense, could be the rest of the story of the prodigal son. just imagining the father saying to the younger son, you know, I've been gracious to you. I've welcomed you back. And now I want you to be a full partner in what we do here in the business of our estate. And you're going to be given responsibility in that, as part of the family. And to the older brother, I can imagine him saying, thank you for your faithfulness over these many years. And I want you to continue to partner with me along with your brother. Accept him back. I've welcomed him back. You welcome him back as a full part of what we're about here. And you need to be a vital part of this mission too, back here at the estate. And so this parable today, the parable of the talents, can fit into that scenario of responsibility. Now that we are part of the kingdom, now that we are part of the Father's house, we're given responsibility. And in this case here, in this parable, the master goes away. And this parable in Matthew 25 is part of a series. I think it's four parables. If you look at the end of Matthew 24 and then throughout Matthew 25, they're all parables where Jesus is teaching the final week of crucifixion. And he's talking about that he's going to leave and is going to come back again. So all these parables are about his return and what happens in the meantime. And the first two, before this one, those who are waiting are caught off guard. And next week we're actually going to look at virgins, the one that precedes this, and how some are caught off guard. So that's for next week. I thought this would be a good week on Labor Day weekend to talk about our labors or our opportunities and our responsibilities that we do, working for the Lord. One, rather than as much being about being caught off guard, is what are we doing? How are the people of God responsible as we wait for Jesus to come back? And so these talents are given out. And as we saw here in the story with Daniel and Sophia, it's talents has to do with money. Literally, talent has to do with the weight of gold or the weight of silver. So that amount of wealth that's been given out here. And I find it interesting that as that word got translated into English, it was actually influenced by this parable or our talents, our abilities, rather than a monetary kind of understanding. So it's directly coming from this parable of Jesus. And so these three servants are given these talents according to their abilities. And a talent is a lot of money. My understanding from studying this is it's one talent is 15 to 20 years worth of labor. So take your W-2 times 15 or 20, and that's a talent. And that gives you an idea if you're a full-time worker. So a good point here to understand is even the servant that was given one talent was given a lot to work with. It wasn't like he was just kind of throwing a little bit at the end. You know, I have a couple quarters left over here. You go invest them. They were all given a significant amount to go and use. And so when you're thinking about what has God given me in order to use for his purposes, all of us in some way or another, if we're reflective and prayerful, can think, well, he's blessed me significantly to be able to bless him back. So, I'd like to think for a moment here, and you can think for yourself, but what have we been given that then can be, that we can take and we can invest, we can work, and put into use for the sake of the kingdom to create an increase. And so like, just like he had a bag of oil, I'm going to just think here. Just imagine if you could put all of your, all the gifts God's given you that you can use for his purposes and think about putting them in the bag here. I'd just like us to brainstorm. If we were in a small group or a youth group, what I'd probably do here is have us go around the circle and start, the first person name something that God gives us that we can invest and go around and around until we run out of ideas. But we won't do that here. But I'm going to start naming, then if any of you are, feel free to call out something, feel free to do that. We're going to just kind of think of all that we're blessed with. So I would put in here, like, I'll do the easy one, our abilities, the abilities that God gives us that we can invest for. Even though the scripture is not just about money, our money, our wealth is something that we can invest for God. So we put that in here. I think about our experiences from the past. Whether it's our successes or our failures, we learn from them and we gain valuable truths out of our past experiences. So we can put that in here. Anybody else have any ideas that we could put in here? What else do we have to invest for God? Reputation, okay. Education. Oh, sorry. education. Yeah, the things that we've learned are hopefully our good reputation that can help open doors for us. Nate, was that smart? Yeah. Yes. All right. The things that, the wisdom that we have. Yeah. Time. Okay. Yeah. We all have time. Money. Yeah. Our strength or our sweat, you know, the effort we put into things. Put in here. Okay. Yeah. Our example that, yeah. Right. Okay. Whether our examples or the other examples of living, of right, true living. Yeah. Okay. Musical skills. Art. We could put all this kind of, artistic kind of things. Okay. Healthcare workers. Yeah. And there we could think too, we talked about education or experience, but also like a caring attitude, you know, the ability to care for people.
Energy,
good. Yeah. Privileges, yeah. Sympathy, yeah. Okay, good. Okay, yeah. A humble spirit, yeah. I also thought about our prayers. Sometimes I hear people say, especially maybe in our older years, I don't have a lot to, I feel like I don't have a lot to offer, but all I can do is pray. And I always think, well, that's huge. don't say all I can do is pray, because that's a huge contribution. Okay. So that's good. So if we all did this, somehow we could fill our bags. Some of us here might have huge bags that God's really blessed us and we could hardly drag it out of here. Some maybe medium amount, but all of us would have some significance in this sack of what we could offer to the Lord. And so think about, be reflective of that, not just today, but this week. In what ways has God blessed you? Understand that He blesses us all in a significant way that we can then, go out and invest. And that there is an expectation in this parable that we would, in fact, go out and be responsible with the things that, Jesus has entrusted to us. Jesus has ascended to heaven and especially in the latter part of the Gospel of John, he often says, like, unless I go away, you wouldn't be filled with the Holy Spirit and sent out to multiply what I've started here and what I've established with my life and death and resurrection. And so we have this that we've been on. So I want to look at the responses now of the three different servants. And the first two, obviously very different than the third one. And even just in the way Jesus tells it with the first one, it says immediately or at once, that servant went out and began to work with his master's money. We could add stuff too. But my interpretation of that, of these first two, is they're much more invested. They're wholehearted in their efforts to create an increase here. And there's a sense of an active investment. not just obviously burying it and hoping that it stays safe. And a sense of confidence and faith that, in fact, can be created here with this investment. And then that's in contrast to the third. And I don't think the main thing that Jesus is saying here is this servant saying, I only got one. You know, that's not right. I'm just going to bury it, you know, because God hasn't blessed me as much as other people. Now, that can be an attitude that we have that we got to overcome. But I think especially here, there's this idea of fear that my master is a hard man and I don't want to fail. I don't want to lose this money and then experience his wrath. And again, I want to go back to the prodigal son story. If the younger son was welcomed back, but not welcomed back with open arms, if the father says, you know, begrudgingly, all right, I'll give you a second chance. You better not blow it this time. That younger son is going to be investing himself with a lot more caution and a lot less risk and a lot less wholeheartedness. You know, I would believe, like, I'm on thin ice here. I better not blow it, you know. And with that kind of fearful attitude, and maybe you can think of that with your own bosses at work or parents or whoever might be in your life, that when there's the fear of that authority, we can tend to just play it safe and not wholeheartedly a part of things. If I would write the rest of the prodigal son story, knowing how that younger son was fully welcomed back, I would think he would have been like one of the first two servants in our story, like wholeheartedly giving himself to the master, to his father's business. But it seems like with this third servant here, there's not a sense of relationship. It's a fearful distance that he feels. And almost like the younger son saying, father's going to send me away if I blow it. And so we can be, or people can be like that a fear of God, like God's going to reject me, if I don't perform properly for him. And so, it creates this distance and maybe even just a lack of incentive to invest anything for God. I found this quote from Edward Schweitzer. God's gifts can never be passively possessed. Think about burying them in the ground. It's like a muscle. It must be worked and stretched or it withers. If you don't take the blessings that I've given you, all the things that we just listed and put in our bag, if you don't invest them in things that would honor God or things that would advance his mission, the mission of Jesus, we're going to get flaccid with those things. We're going to get weak and less and less be able to honor God with our lives. So now the master comes home and he's rewarding his servants. And so for the first two, well done, good and faithful servants. You've been, I haven't been advancing things, so there's not too much here. But faithful servants. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. So there's an increase in opportunities and responsibility. And come and share in your master's happiness or joy. And one question was raised in my mind as I was studying this for the first time, as I read through it the first time last week, was when is this happening? When are these rewards being given out? And it seems to me, since these are all parables about Christ's return, that the primary interpretation here is these are the rewards that Jesus is talking about when he returns from his long journey or from being ascended on high and to establish his eternal kingdom. Enter into my joy. But also, the question that gets raised for me is these new responsibilities, these added responsibilities, what does that look like when Christ returns? That somehow we will be, as we are faithful with a few things, whatever he gives us in this life, somehow there will be more responsibility in the life to come. And I don't have an answer for that, and I don't think any of us from Scripture can really get a lot of detail about eternal kingdom of God and what it looks like to have even more responsibility in God's forever kingdom. Although somehow I believe the life to come is going to be a reflection of this life as God created it without the corruption of sin. And so if you can imagine life having responsibility in this life, relating to people, all that life is, but without the corruption of sin, that's what it will look like. So, but anyway, I just want to bring out what Jesus seems to be saying is, even more opportunity will be there, to honor God, as he, calls us home. And I don't think it should not make us kind of competitive in this life. Like, I'm going to build up my portfolio for the eternal kingdom now. You know, I'm going to be faithful so that I really have a great life, you know, in the life to come. Because today we're faithful servants because we want to honor Jesus. And in the forever, we want to lay down our crowns to honor Jesus. So it's not about us or what we can, gain for ourselves. And the other question how do I make sense of this? This can't mean like a works righteousness because of what we do, be blessed and welcomed by Jesus. We made that point with the prodigal son story. It's by grace that we're welcome. But again, if we can think of that prodigal son story, it's only by grace that the father welcomes the younger son back again. But then I could imagine the father saying, now that you're home, here's what we're all about. And I want you to join in my work and my mission here back home again, together with your brother. And together we as the church are serving our master faithfully together to advance his kingdom. In Ephesians 2, it says, it's by grace we've been saved through faith. It's not from ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not by our works, so we can't boast. But then it says, Paul says, we are God's handiwork. We are God's workmanship. We've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to be faithful servants, to take these gifts and invest them faithfully for the kingdom. But I'd like to close today to say, though I still believe there can be an interim way of applying this to our lives. Not only are we faithful up until our death or when Christ returns and receive his reward, but I think we could even think of this at any moment we can apply this. Almost like some of you work in retirement communities and so forth, or hospitals. You know that I've experienced this where sometimes the state inspectors show up unannounced to see how things are, you know. And you're scrambling around to make sure everything's in order. We could take this scripture this morning and say maybe this is a time where Jesus is calling us aside, calling us into his office, like a job review, to say, so how have you been doing investing my gifts for the kingdom? That's something I think we could reflect on and imagine Jesus asking us, how have I been faithful with the things that he has entrusted to me? And if I've been faithful in smaller things, maybe in fact, he will entrust more to me and give me more responsibility or give me more opportunities that I, should look for, to be faithful in the times to come. And even today we can enter into joy. Like that could be a future thing. Like we think of the eternal kingdom of God entering into joy, pure joy. But even today to serve God and to serve alongside others I hope we can say that's a joyful thing. It's good to be part of this church and to serve side by side. Like the younger son saying, you know what? This really is good and true living. You know, I thought I wanted to get out of here, but I find out this really is what life is all about. And so I think that younger son again could have entered into joy in that household again. But there is that third servant. That wicked and lazy servant, take that talent from him. And those who have will be given more, even to an abundance, but those who have nothing, or those who have done nothing with the opportunities and the gifts that they've been given, even what they have will be taken away. Even today to think, have I been faithful? And if I haven't been faithful, will I begin to lose opportunity, or will God send opportunity elsewhere because I haven't been faithful? How can I turn that corner? And thinking eternally, this seems to be Matthew's way of quoting Jesus about eternal death. If you look a number of times in Matthew, he uses these terms, throw him out into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Just this sense of separation from God. A sense of despair and regret, looking back at missed opportunities to receive the gospel and to serve the Lord God. So that parable kind of ends on a down note, but a great challenge to be one of the faithful ones. So as we await Christ's return, we're in that place like the servants. We're called to be responsible with the opportunities that we're given. And so as we go from here, let's continue to reflect on that. Where have I been given opportunities? What's right there before me? How have I been gifted to be one of those faithful servants? I'm called to be faithful. I trust God that He will bring increase and He will bless. But I will choose to be faithful with these things. So may we all have that attitude as we go from here. Not just this week, but always, as we're waiting for Christ to return. Let's pray together. God, we are so grateful for your grace and mercy, and also, Jesus, that you entrust your mission to us. And not only that you entrust it to us, but you empower us by your Holy Spirit to be faithful. So turn our hearts towards you, turn our eyes towards the opportunities before us, and help us to acknowledge how you've gifted us, and that we might invest these things for the sake of your kingdom and not for ourselves. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.